You're listening to the Epic Youth Ministry Podcast. For more awesomeness, visit epicym.org.
I'm about to find out right now who my favorite students are. How many of you guys are Lord of the Rings fans? Ugh. Okay, we need to be evangelizing more. We need to find some more Lord of the Rings loving students. I love Lord of the Rings. Can I tell you when I found out that the love of my life, my wife, was the love of my life, my wife? When we began to, it's a nervous moment in the life of every man when he begins to talk to Lord about Lord of the Rings in front of women. And she was like, what? And I'm like, girl. And she is more of a Lord of the Rings nerd than me. An amazing moment. I don't know why we were engaged and we sat down and we watched Fellowship of the Ring. And I was sitting there with my arm around her. And it's an amazing scene. It's just opening scene. And I'm hearing something weird. And I look, and she has that entire movie memorized. She's just sitting there like, she knows. It began with the Nine Rings. I don't have it memorized. She knows that entire movie back to back. I love Lord of the Rings. You know what I love about Lord of the Rings? Is this sort of epic battle scene, like Legolas taking down an olifant. Not an elephant, pardon you. It's an olifant. Takes the whole thing down, runs over, slides down the back. Gimli's like, still on the coats is one. It's an amazing scene. I love it, because I want to be there. I want to be in that moment. I want to be there with Legolas, like, yo, what up? And then just, like, killing orcs left and right. Those weren't orcs, those, you know. But it makes me feel like I'm bigger than this lame little self that I have. Like, you know, like, in real life, like, if Wendell and I were, like, climbing a mountain, and, like, orcs came out, and he's like, bro, you ready? I'd be like, and I poop my pants and, like, run down the hill fast as I can. Like, that's not really who I am in real life, but that's who I want to be. How many of you guys love war movies? Less than Lord of the Rings. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help them in Jesus' name. Tonight in Ephesians 6, we are walking through the armor of God. And as we close, next week we are finishing this entire series. But all throughout Ephesians, Paul has been telling us who we are in Christ. I am heard, I am pure, I am made alive, I am loved, I am called, I am in Christ. That was week one. I am new, I am reconciled, I am led. That was last week. And so he's saying, all right, we're closing. And so you're going to gather everything together and you, Christian, are going to war. It's an epic set of verses tonight. So let's start this off. Because he wants us to find our identity in the victory that we have in Christ. Say it with me. I am victorious. Say it one more time like you just killed an orc with Gladriel. Gladriel, no, cheat. Oh, jeez, Glamdring, pardon me. I am victorious. Thank you. Thank you, you over there. So let me start off this amazing section of Bible verses. In verse 10 of chapter 6, finally, if you guys have been here every week for the last almost 4 months, maybe that finally is a little bit of a, finally, yeah, we're reaching the end, I promise. Finally. So can you, it's like during this whole letter, he's talked about everything that he wants us to be, and he's saying, finally, okay, here are your final marching orders, Christian. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's good stuff. I want it to feel like we're in a foxhole, and at the end of this sermon, you're about to grab your little 22 BB gun and charge hell like, oh, it's going to be good. So the first thing I see is this. Be strong in, what is it? Be strong in the Lord. It does not say be strong in you. It does not say be strong in the strength of Garrett Allen Cruz. That is not strength. It says this. Be strong in the Lord. Listen, your identity tonight, your victory tonight is not found on your strength. It is found in the strength of our risen, victorious King Jesus. That is strength. That is strength, my friends. It is not your own. And I want you to know this, Christian. Walking with Jesus is hard. It is not easy. If you ever hear, follow Jesus and everything will be awesome and everything will be easy and then you won't have any more acne and you'll raise $1 million every day, you run as fast as you can from that church and find a dermatologist. That is not true. As a matter of fact, in my experience, the more you follow Christ, the harder life gets. Because easy is the path that leads to death, but narrow is that path that leads to life. It is a good hard. It is a great fight in the end that you know I won because my king is victorious. You are not fighting in your own strength. More than that, you ever felt this? You ever felt this? You've been praying or maybe just thinking. I can't do this. This is impossible. You ever thought that before? Raise your hand. Perfect. That is exactly where God wants you. If you're thinking, I'm good, probably not following the will of God. If life feels impossible, it sounds like you need the power and the strength of a risen Savior. So the more you follow Christ, sometimes, my experience, pretty much all the time, it gets harder and harder and harder, and it's a good hard, it's a good fight. So tonight, I want you to grab the strength that comes from our risen Savior. The second thing I want to show you in this first section of verses is this. I want to show you again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Listen, you might be uncomfortable with this. Too bad you're in church. There are spiritual forces around you. You have an enemy, every single one of you. You have an enemy. Can I read you this one more time? We do not wrestle against, what does it say? Flesh and blood. Your enemy, hear this, your enemy is not one another. Sometimes, church family, we shoot our wounded. We shoot our brothers and sisters, but our enemy is not one another. Our enemy is not another youth group or another church or another denomination. Actually, even more so, our enemy is not people in other religions or atheists or whatever. Those people that do not know God have been held captive. They are blind by our enemy, and his name is Satan. And this may make you uncomfortable. You might go, Garrett, it's 2015. This is weird. Like, are we really going to believe in this Harry Potter weirdness? No, no, no. I'm so sorry that your intelligence has gone beyond the Bible. It says you have an enemy. You do not see it, but there are spiritual forces all around you. Satan is constantly at work in your life, trying to accuse you, trying to lie to you, trying to beautifully and easily lead you to your death. I need you to know that. And when you talk like this, you normally see two different sides. I already talked about the first one. People are like, great, this kind of weird hippy-dippy church. They believe in all kinds of weird stuff. Gotcha. When are we getting out? I'd like Sylvester's. Never coming again. If you under-spiritualize spiritual warfare and the work of Satan, I worry for you. Because in our culture, we go, you know what, they might have a problem, let's just give them a high dose of medication. You know what, they have a problem, they probably just need to go to a counselor for a little bit. Well, we don't know the spiritual bondage that someone might be in. Amen. So we can medicate all you want, but unless they have the Spirit of God moving in their lives, they're still dead. Now, the other side of the thing is this. I've met some crazy people that think everything is a demon. Can I tell you a funny story? When Kristen and I were dating in San Diego, there was a friend of ours, probably friend's a little too strong, but we had gotten done with college group and we walked out and he was literally frantically running around, putting his hands on his car, screaming prayers on his vehicle. Like, I was just like yelling. We're like, holy, what happened? He's like, okay, so my car does not have automatic locks. It's all manual. But I got in the car and the trunk opened up. My car is demon possessed. And he was praying for, I don't know if he busted out oil, but he was like exorcist up in this hoopty. Like it was stupid. And sometimes you'll meet people like that. That like you're driving on the way to school. You get a flat tire. Oh, demons put nails on the road. Like, no, maybe you just should have gotten new tires. You know, you see that, like, you get an F on your test. Satan, what are you doing? No, you should have studied more, you know? See, hopefully you see both of those are wrong responses to what we just read. Because on one hand, when you say that's stupid, I don't believe in any of that spiritual stuff, you're giving a foothold for your real enemy who is still working to kill you and destroy you regardless or not if you believe that whole stuff is real or not. And then the other side of it that says everything's a demon, everything's this, apparently you haven't learned that Christ is victorious. And you're giving no credit for the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-amazing, awesome God who is working and is fighting for you and who has already won. Do you see both abuses? Nod with me. You understand? Cool. That wasn't in my notes. We got stuff to do. Gosh, stop distracting me. The truth is this, students, that we are in a war. So verse 13. Therefore, what do we always say about therefores? Leader said that. What is the therefore there for? So he just told us about the reality of the spiritual warfare in which we are in. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm. I love this, students. God does not send us into battle alone. In fact, he dresses us in his own armor. He says, you cannot do this. You cannot fight on your own. So I'm going to equip you with spirit-empowered weapons that will allow you to stand firm when you are attacked. Stand firm when you have accusations that you're not good enough and you're unlovable and God could never love you. You stand firm. You cannot do this on your own. That's why you are not alone. I am with you. God does not send you to battle weaponless and without any armor, but he clothes you with himself. Amen. And says, let's go. Let's go to war. And did you see this? Wendell's talked to me about this before, and I don't quite remember what he told me, but it was super good. But he said, to stand firm. And then you see it again. Having done all to stand firm, therefore stand. There's a lot of talk about like, getting yourself ready to stand. And once you've done all that you can to stand, stand. So let me tell you this. This is probably not what Wendell was originally saying. You know what really impresses me? Here, I'll probably just start here. I am not impressive. I do not impress myself whatsoever. I've been a father. No, let's start up because correct order. I was here. I've been here 3 years. That's nothing. That's chump change. I've been married 3 years. That's nothing. That's chump change. I've been a father for 2 years. That's nothing. I have a new baby on the way. That's nothing. In some ways, I've began my race. I'm still doing it. So you know what really impresses me? It's not somebody who can do something or whatever the heck I've been doing for 3 years. But people who have lived a lifetime. Like when I hear about 25-year anniversaries, 30-year wedding anniversaries, 40-year anniversaries, that's a man, that's a woman who has stood. When I hear about seasoned saints that are in their 60s, that are in their 70s, and that are in their 80s, and they don't believe in this stupid thing called retirement, that, you know, we're just going to go to Florida and collect seashells for the rest of our lives. But they go, what's that? I'm 80? Sounds like it's time to stand. Sounds like it's time to get in and go to war. You know who impresses me? And I'm not trying to say this in a way that makes him sound old at all, so please do not hear this. But some conversations that I've had very recently with one of your epic leaders, Kyle Fable. The pain that he's gone through and the hardships, we've talked about that before. Dealing with a lot of stuff. And hearing his faith, Kyle, that spoke volumes to me. Because I don't have that. I haven't been through serious trials. But to see a man, to see a woman who has gone through a trial and says, I'm still standing. Students, you need to be absolutely clinging to those people, to your epic leaders. On Sunday mornings, grab someone who looks older than old. I don't know, somebody seasoned and say, can you tell me about your life? You see an older married couple walking, you say, can you tell me about your marriage? Because what's impressive to me is people like our lead pastor, Pastor Rick, been at this church for 26 years. I'm not calling him old, but he's been here at this church longer than I've been alive. That's faithfulness. That's what standing looks like. Not, I can be pure with my girlfriend maybe the first week or not, but now I'm going to pursue her like Jesus until she's mine, and I've put a ring on her finger. That's standing, students. Because I'll tell you this, you can't live a godly life for your life by yourself on your own. You can't live a godly marriage your whole life by yourself on your own. You cannot be a godly mother, a godly father, a godly employee or manager, whatever God might have for you. You cannot do that for a lifetime on your own. You need the armor of God. You need to be equipped to stand firm. Do you guys want to hear about this armor? Is that like pretty good stuff? You're like, can you please get to the back table? Because I really want to see what's on there. Good. I'm going to take a little bit of Arizona iced tea. Those of you that have some, let's drink in unison. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that's tasty. I'm fighting a cold. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Having fastened on the belt of truth. So students, you guys ready to get suited up? Thank you kindly. Now, I know, I already told you this, visual aids sometimes can be cheesy, but you can't walk through the armor of God and like be like, belt of truth. Okay, imagine a belt. Like you gotta have something physical. So, this is the best belt I could find, and it looks right off of Nacho Libre. Ladies and gentlemen, the belt of truth! It looks a little smelly, doesn't it? So, I know what you're thinking. No, you're thinking, okay, we talked about war. You got me all excited, and we watched Lord of the Rings, and we're on belt? Like, you know, you don't think about that, right? You don't think like, okay, are you ready to go to war? Yeah, I'm ready to go to war. Fasten your belt. You know, you don't go there. What we're talking about is the belt of truth. And for everything that God equips us with to be victorious in Christ is to counteract and to fight against a scheme of the devil. Satan is a liar. So God gives us the belt of truth. Because listen, and I don't want to get too much into the analogies between a belt and what a belt does, but without a belt, everything falls apart. This is true. Without truth, everything falls apart. You lose your weapon. You lose all that you are if you cannot hold on to truth. So, students, our very first one, the belt of truth, is so much about the identity that we have in Christ. Will you believe the lies that are told about you? Will you believe the lies that you tell yourselves? Will you believe the lies that Satan creeps into your heart and mind? Or will you stand on the truth of God? The belt of truth. Without truth, we have nothing. And in our day when truth is relative, when truth is just depending on person to person, we stand, Christian, for war. You stand on the truth of who God is and who God has made you in Christ. Somebody say amen. Thank you. I'll make sure you guys are with me. I want you to stay in this mode of, we're going to battle. Second one is this, the breastplate of righteousness. Thank you, Easter Play, for the breastplate of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, can I present to you the breastplate of righteousness? Thank you very much. You guys have to cheer for that part or it makes my cheesy illustrations even cheesier. Listen, Christ has given you the righteousness of God. I was talking with a few of you men a few weeks ago on Sunday night, and I got really mad at you because you weren't really paying attention very well. But remember, I kept messing up this word, but I said purity. Now you're laughing because I'll tell them. I accidentally said puberty like 3 or 4 times, which was not good when they already weren't paying attention. I'm like, shut up, I'm talking about the puberty of God. Dang it. And everybody just lost it. But my point was, pure. Is that something you would say to describe yourself? And everyone's like, no, definitely not, I don't know. And I picked on one of the dudes because I talked about, yeah, I get that, we're all sinful, yes, absolutely, but God has purchased for you purity. And listen to me, student, that God, when he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of God. That is so hard to understand, but that is absolutely true. That when he looks at you, he does not see the sum of your past sins and your failures and your doubts, but because of Christ and what Christ has done for you, not because of you, but because he loves you so much. When he looks at you, Kate, when he looks at you, Santos, he sees the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. And I need you to hold on to that. Because listen, what Satan does is he tries to lure you in 2 different ways. First, he'll tempt you with that old nature, with sin, and he says, doesn't this look awesome? And the only thing sin can truly promise you is lies and death. But in the moment, it looks so alluring, and he will try to lure you back to that old nature. And look at me, what you do in that moment is you remember that you are pure. You are a chosen child of the living God. So you put that on, and you beat your chest, and you say, I am the righteousness of God. I'm sorry, that old Garrett Cruz died a long time ago. That sin has nothing to do with me. I am pure and I have the righteousness of God. So if he can't get you there, what he will do is he begin to guilt you and accuse you with past sins. And he'll tell you that you're unlovable. And he'll tell you that how could God forgive something that nasty? How could God forgive you? Okay, yeah, you just sinned a few weeks ago, and that was pretty nasty. I'm pretty sure God is pretty fed up with you. Why don't you just chill? Can't go to youth group in a couple weeks. Can't read your Bible. Can't ask for forgiveness because God is bipolar, and he's done with you right now. Listen, that is an absolute lie from Satan. You are not a sum of your past sin. You are still a child of the living God, and so if he can't get you to sin, he'll bring up past sins. So what do you do in that moment, student? I want you to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I want you to beat your chest and say once again, I am the righteousness of God. He has purchased for me purity. It is not my own purity, but when God looks at me, he doesn't see worthless sinner. Well, that might be who I used to be. He sees Christ. That is your identity, student. And you grab that breastplate of righteousness and you wear that righteousness that God has given you. The third one is this. Feet fitted, my friends, with the gospel of peace. And I need to thank Austin Thompson for these bad boys. I love this. Because I know we're going with like Roman biblical times soldier, but sandals, like, they aren't as epic as these bad boys. So let me put them down for you. I'm gonna have you listen to the weight. Yeah. That was so cool. They're steel toe. Ow. These are Austin's. Now, Austin, what are these for? Firefighting? You say that so uncertain, like, firefighting? Yeah. These are Austin's firefighting boots. I'm totally putting you on the spot, but can you just... What do you do at the fire station? Did you guys hear that? Can you say it one more time? I'm sorry. He runs medical aids and does fire calls. Some pretty epic manly stuff, dude. So let me show you. I'll read it to you again, verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. You put on the readiness of the gospel to war against the false gospels of the enemy. Let me tell you something really practical about boots. I told you I wouldn't get too much into the analogies, but too bad. I'm going somewhere with it. In war, you go to sleep with your boots on. In war, you're always ready to go. It's 3 a.m. The enemy is shooting at you. You don't go, oh, let me get my shoes real quick. Hold on. Do these match? Okay, good. No, you are ready to go in every moment, whether it's convenient or not. You got your shoes ready, and you're jumping into battle. So what I want for you students with the gospel to have every moment of every day, that I want you students, we say this all the time, it is all about, I guess they don't remember. That's good. That means I got to do an 82-week series on it. It is all about Jesus. I've said that like every week for the last, every 3 years, man. It is all about Jesus. It is all about the gospel. That Jesus loves you so much that he came here on earth and he lived the perfect life that you did not live and I did not live. And he died a death in your place for your sins. And he rose again to the newness of life, to give you the newness of life, to give you relationship with the Almighty, to give you relationship with God. That, my friends, is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. Can I be super clear about that? Because today, I'm ranting now. I'm sorry. I know we don't have time. But I actually heard a sermon once where it was all about the gospel. All about the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And then this church leader ended it with, now, the gospel, I can't define it for you because I don't know what that means for your individual contexts. That's wrong. The gospel is, what's his name? Thank you. Few of you had it now. The gospel is Jesus. Be very wary of teachers that add another word to the gospel. Social justice gospel, poverty gospel, you know, prosperity gospel. It's just Jesus. So I want you to stand in Christ, students. And I want you to be ready to go every day to have that moment with somebody that you know. Say, can I, I'm ready to go. Can I tell you about Jesus? And that every step of your life, you will be guided and led and fitted in the gospel of knowing what Christ has accomplished for you and how to live in it. And students, I want you to die with your boots on. I want you to die in this war well. I want to hear your stories when you're far gone, when you've gone to college and you're married and you have kids, and I just go on Facebook or whatever, Facebook will be right there. Or maybe even I just, not to be morbid, but read your obituary because apparently I outlived you all. I don't know, that's dumb. I want to hear that you were following Christ until your very last breath, until you saw him face to face. I don't want to hear stories, look at me, I don't want to hear stories of they left youth group and they became another statistic. Statistically, 73% of you after high school leave church. Do not come back. I don't want you to be another statistic. I hope and pray that the leadership here has shown you that in life you're not just looking for a good time, you're looking for a good legacy. A legacy of Christ, a legacy of godliness. So students, die with your boots on. Die in this good fight of faith for Christ. Amen? Thank you kindly. The shield of faith. Now, I had a Lego shield. And I know this is like the cheesiest looking one. So here, just by show of hands, how many of you guys would have much rather loved the Lego shield? Two of you. Okay, good. I guess good decision. The shield of faith, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you kindly. The shield of faith. Let me read it to you. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The shield of faith to war against the fiery accusations of Satan. So, shield of faith. Now, obviously, we have saving faith, that we have faith in Jesus. But what we're talking about here is not so much that saving faith, though that's like tier one, super important. But what we're talking about is living faith, an active faith in God. Let me tell you the difference. Sometimes for me, maybe for you, I know that I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I believe that he exists. But sometimes I have a hard time believing God and what he says about me. That, yeah, I believe God exists, and I believe that, you know, that Jesus came and lived, died, rose again. Yes, but sometimes I don't believe that God's truly forgiven me. Sometimes I don't believe that God truly loves me. Sometimes I don't believe that God truly has a plan for me. You ever been there? Yeah. Your hand that raised, you lying. So what this shield of faith is an active, daily, living faith that says, I believe in God and I believe what he says about me. Now, in times of war, you ever seen 300? Yeah. It's a good movie. It's a rated R movie, but it's wow. The special effects. First one was awesome. Second one was stupid. For those people, and for during that time, you could lose your sword. I mean, that would be really bad. But if you lost your shield, it was pretty much a death sentence. Like, it was like, you do not lose your shield. If we see that you lost your shield, you're gone. Because you do not lose your shield. And what they would do with shields at that time, they would actually soak them in water. So when they would lift them up and those flaming darts came, it would extinguish them like that. It would protect their whole body, and then even more importantly, it would protect one another. They'd get together, and they would extinguish those darts, those arrows that would come at them. You don't lose your shield. That is all that you are. You do not lose your faith. And so I know we touched on this a little bit, but there will be days where you're just sitting, and all of a sudden, a dart comes out of nowhere, an arrow comes out of nowhere. This happens to me all the time. Like, I'll be driving in my car, and out of nowhere, I have this, like, where did that come from? That out of nowhere, like, this sin that either I'm struggling with, and I really need to be doing this more, or not doing this, or something really nasty from the past, like, it'll just come up out of nowhere. That's an accusation. That's a flaming dart. You ever have days like that you feel like you are just getting pelted? Thank you for that one person who's honest. It's like this whole day, what is going on? Listen, those are fiery darts from Satan coming at you to accuse you, to tell you that you're filth, to tell you that you're... And you pick up that shield of faith and you say, that's not what my Heavenly Father says about me. That is not true. And you fight, and you fight, and you fight through faith. Through every weapon that is formed against you, for every arrow that comes your way. See, that's all you got? Pfft. It was really dumb, Satan. That was one puny arrow. Shield of faith. We're almost done here. The helmet of salvation. Now we have two more, so let's make these two real big. You ready? Are you ready for this? This is totally like a worker's helmet. Thanks, Easter play. I present to you the helmet of salvation. You guys are great. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. There is a battlefield inside of every person's mind, amen? Yeah. You ever feel that before? There's a battlefield going on inside your brain? Two different, not just two different hemispheres, but it's like two different brains sometimes. So I want you to take hold of the salvation that Christ has given you. Remember Ephesians 1, that in eternity past, God chose, God in his predestinating, that's not a word, love, said, you're mine. I've chosen you, and nothing can separate you from my love for you. And you are unworthy of that love. That's why it's a gift. That's why the grace is so good. That's why we have so sure a salvation. You hold that and you put that in your brain. You say, I am saved by Jesus. That I serve a good king. And some days when life is crazy, when life is horrible, you need to remind yourself, you put on that helmet of salvation and you say, my king is victorious. I've seen the end. I've read the book. I know what happens. My king wins, and I live with him forever. That through all of this life, when it gets hectic, when it gets crazy, when it gets just horrible, you know what? I'm gonna get my armor on and remember that my king is victorious. And another part of this salvation is the idea of sanctification. That's a big word. Say it with me. Sanctification. That we are sanctified initially, immediately, but then also progressively all throughout life. So we are justified in the sight of God. Christ comes. He died for our sins. He gives us new life. God sees the righteousness of God. We already talked about that. That's good. That's right. That's true. But that there is progressive sanctification where we every day are formed more and more and more into the image of Jesus. And so what I want you to have in your minds as you put on the helmet of salvation is that I want to be more and more like Jesus every day. I want to be more and more like Jesus every day. Amen or just Jonathan? Awesome. And every single day, I want to be more and more. So God, show me. Get in my brain and Satan, like God, do something. Because for me, there's some days, like the last, in my mind, like the last thing I want to do is be a godly husband. And God, like, I just like, can I just be about me today? And I got to know my own brain and go, excuse me, that's not the righteousness. That's not God speaking. I rebuke that. Get out of my brain. Get out of my head. When you open up your Bible and you're like, this is horrible and this is boring, and now, you know, all of us, have you ever done this? You open up the Bible and then it's like, oh, I forgot. I have chores to do. Now, you would never do those chores, but now you're just finding something to get you out of reading the Bible. Nod if you've been there. Yes, we've all been there. What do you think that is? That's demonic. That's satanic. That's Satan saying, I don't want you reading the Bible. Let's go do anything else but read the Bible. Please don't read the Bible. So in that moment when you open it up and all of a sudden you're like the most ADD-filled person ever, you say, God, center me and keep me focused. And I might read for an hour. I might read for 10 seconds. But I want you. No, I need you to speak to me. Would you give me that helmet of salvation and sanctify me every day? Amen? All right, here's the last one. My favorite one. Oh, man. The sword of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. And can I present to you? Oh, yeah. Can I tell you a little story? This is a legit Lord of the Rings replica. This is Glamdring. This is the beautiful. Isn't that amazing? Pastor Kirkley gave this to me. I also have Gimli's axe in my office. We can talk later. The sword of the Spirit. Yeah. I told you what to do. One more time. The sword of the Spirit. This is fun. All right, as we wrap up, and you know what? We're going to have to talk about prayer next week, which is good because it's all about prayer anyway. Prayer's a good thing, though. We got 6 minutes. We might be able to hit prayer a little bit. Prayer's pretty good. Sword of the Spirit. This is the Word of God. This is the Bible. This is our weapon, students. And let me ask you, when's the last time you sharpened your weapon? When's the last time you got that thing out and said, all right, let's go? Because here's the thing, because the Word of God not only cuts and destroys, I'll even decapitates the enemy's works, but it also molds and chisels away your sinfulness in your heart, doesn't it? So it's a sword just as much for your enemies to say, no, excuse me. That is not what the Word of God says about me, but also to make you more and more into the image of God. I've said this before, but when you see Jesus when he is being tempted in the desert, every time Satan comes with temptation and says, hey, why don't you do this? Hey, how about you not trust God in this way? Throughout every temptation, what does he say? He doesn't say, interesting point. Let me think about it here for a little bit. He doesn't go, all right, Satan, you're telling me to deny God? Pros and cons. No, he says, it is written. He does not combat Satan's lies and accusations with mere just human intellect or maybe, you know what, here's my opinion, here's the pros and cons. No, he says, it is written. Let me give you some word of God. Let me put a Holy Spirit-empowered bullet in your brain, Satan. I'm done with this. God has spoken. It's been decided. We're done here. So students, I want you to be students of the Word. I need you to be reading it. And hopefully, the Bible is so good. It is so great. I love it. There are days that it is hard. And those are days when you pray through. And I know especially when you first begin to read the Bible, it's pretty massive. 66 books. That's pretty crazy. Maybe you open it up and get to something really weird from the Old Testament. Something about mold on the roof of houses in Leviticus. And you're like, awesome. What is that for me? First, let me tell you this. If you're having a really hard time reading the Bible, please, 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 please talk to one of your leaders. Leaders, raise your hands real quick. I know you guys know who they are. Matt, Nora, Jen, the rest of them. I don't have time. Diana. Let me at least get the girls. Wendell, Kyle, Kristen Fable. Who am I missing? My wife, Kristen. Alice, who's not here. Look at me. Look at me. I feel bad now, so now I wasted more time. Talk to them. Please, please talk to them. I'm having a really hard time. Or even, okay, I was reading and I stumbled upon this verse and I'm having a really hard time. What does this mean? If it means what I says, it means I'm having a really hard time here. Please, please, please. Doubt is not sinful, but doubt that stays in here and is never communicated to the family, that'll rot. Say, I'm having doubts here. Please talk, talk. But I'll say this too, don't give up. What we do, or at least what I do, because I'm that type A personality, I go, I'm going to read the whole Bible and then this entire day. And then, you know, then I'm like 4 hours in and I'm like, oh, you know, and then that's what we do, right? Then we don't touch it anymore. We're like, done with that. Because I'm stupid, because I'll read a whole book of the Bible in like an hour and a half and I'll go, yeah, I mastered that one. It's a lifetime. Even at the end of our life, we still won't know all of the glories of Christ. Even, I would add, never mind, I won't get into that theological debate, but we study and study and study and work to show ourselves approved unto God, a worker rightly handling the word of truth. Hopefully we've set a good precedence here, spending 4 months almost in the book of Ephesians, a book that's only 6 chapters long. So sometimes you may read for 4 or 5 hours, get through a whole book of the Bible, but did God chisel away? Did you let God really speak to you? Or were you just merely trying to get that religious sense of like, check the box, read the Bible? Yeah, but you didn't let God speak to you in it. You might even have the whole, you know, I memorized 4 things. Yeah, but has it changed your life? So be students of the Word. Be students of the Bible. I know, Emily, I got to get you a Bible. You're like, I'd love to be, but I got to get a Bible. We're getting it, girl. We're getting that Bible for you. Okay, you guys, can I spend 2 minutes on prayer? And because next week's all about prayer. All right, stand with me. Listen. In war, communication is key. When you're in war, you need to hear your marching orders from your commander, from your king. This is where I want you to go. Communication is absolutely key. So I worry about my own self, if I can be real. Because, you know, you hear like prayer warriors, which I don't really know what that means. I know people have like gifts of prayer, but it's not like there's like a tiered system. Here's the warrior hat, Jonathan. No, like you see that person, you see the little gold star? Prayer warrior. I pray that all of us would be whatever that means. But I know for me, I can't say I'm a prayer warrior. I don't labor in prayer like I should. And I worry because I think those of us that do not pray and ask for the communication from our commander do not realize that we are in a war. And I wonder how torn apart you're getting because you have not listened to the orders of your king. Or you have not stopped to listen to what he's trying to say to you. So I pray as we close that you would be students of prayer. You would ask God, where do I need to go? What do you want me to do? What in my life is destroying me, is killing me? And then, if I can be so bold, then you shut up and listen. I do this all the time with God. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And I need you to do this and do this. Sounds good. Okay, bye. Not even a conversation anymore. Hey, God, I need you to move in my life in this way. And I really need you to move. But can you speak to me? Lest I be totally out of line. And I'll say this, God primarily has already spoken a lot in that sword and that word. If you can't hear God, then read God. He's already told you a lot. So read your Bibles and be men and women of prayer. And how cool is this? Remember that whole it's all about Jesus thing that I said for the first time tonight? Or every single Wednesday for 3 years? Because students, Christ is our truth. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is the gospel. Christ is our peace. Christ is our faith, our salvation, and the living, breathing word of God. It's all about Jesus. That you would be geared up, that you would wake up and you would get going. And you would put on the armor of God every day. Go home tonight and tomorrow morning and read through Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 again. And I want you to, I don't mean this word in a weird way, and it's in a gospel way. I want you to meditate on these words. Okay, truth, righteousness, the gospel peace, and think about how can I equip myself, God? And then listen. Walk in the armor, students. Ask God to equip you and stand firm in the identity of Christ, that you are victorious because Jesus has already won and Jesus is victorious. Amen. Awesome. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you that we do not live life alone. God, we thank you that you walk with us every day. And as your children, you clothe us with your spirit. You clothe us with your power and with the full armor of God. God, speak boldly. Help us not to start every day without our armor. Help us not to go out there spiritually naked and then trying our best to fight. We need you, God. So speak and move and help us to get our gear on every day and knowing that we do have an enemy and it is not one another. It is not flesh and blood. It is Satan and God. We know in the end you crush him. We are living in this meantime in the already not yet that you have won, but that is not in its fullest extent just yet. So help us to stand firm every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year for our whole lives. And when we fall, when we fail, when we drop our sword, when we just absolutely get a nasty scar, pick us back up. Say, all right, son, all right, daughter, let's stand again. We thank you, Jesus. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen.